This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Big news, giant news. The Titans have released Vic Beasley.
Whoa.
The big news in America today, the Titans, in a shocking move, losers of two straight, get rid of Vic Beasley. Also, Ted Ginn is available if you want Ted Ginn. The Bears have released him. If you're just joining us, the first 2 hours of this show have been fire, and these are the questions we are asking. These are the things we are endeavoring to do. We are trying to find the guy who fell into a sinkhole in New York and landed on a bunch of rats. We are asking the question, how many knuckles are on each finger, one, two, or three?
Mm-hmm.
And the most heated debate of the morning, probably anywhere in America, I would guess, what defines someone that you describe as a professional hitter? So Tim Kirkchin is going to join us here, and there were a number of characteristics this person had. Has to, foul off a bunch of pitches. Has to be someone who is okay, not great, can't be too good.
I don't think we should be making the definition. I think the definition should be made by Tim Kirkchin.
Also, probably at some point during the show today, we're going to have a president of the United States to feel like we can announce, maybe. But more importantly, I think we can all agree.
I've got Woj on alert.
Tim Kirkchin, how do you define, Tim? Thank you, as always, for making time for us. How do you define professional hitter? Do you agree with us, a guy who fouls off a bunch of pitches, a guy who is okay, not too good, but just kind of good, also maybe a dirty helmet?
A guy who works the count, takes you deep into the count, slaps singles, beats out an infield single, stuff like that.
Well, no, you keep doing this, right? Though. You keep confusing a professional hitter with a leadoff hitter.
I know.
You keep doing that. That's not what we're doing here. Tim Kirkchin, how do you define professional hitter?
Well, again, I'm not the right guy for this. A professional hitter is a guy who played in the minor league. He's a professional baseball player, and if he's a hitter, therefore he's a professional hitter. I have never once used the term ever.
Wait a minute. I appreciate Tim. Look, I appreciate
you. All right, now I'm going to answer the question.
That's very That's very neutral. We know. Okay, we know that you are not someone who uses mundane analysis like that person is a professional hitter. We know that that is crappy analysis that is reserved for the Wes Helmses of the world, that you don't know how to say anything else about them. We are asking you how you define it when someone else says that guy's a professional hitter.
Okay, that guy's been on 5 or 6 different teams. He's never good enough to play every day for anybody, but he always gets moved during a pennant race because he might get a hit for you coming off of the bench. He's not very good defensively. Otherwise, he would be playing every day.
Yep.
And yet there are better professional hitters than others. Mike brought it up. Howie Kendrick is a really good professional hitter. He's going to win a batting title someday. How many times did we hear that? And he never did. Matt Stairs is the best professional hitter there is.
Really?
He just shows up. He's a hockey player. He's short. He takes pitches. Sometimes he strikes out. He hits a home run coming off the bench. He's not good enough to play every day, but he plays for a lot of teams and is a very good guy coming off the bench. He falls out of bed in the morning. How about this? He can fall out of bed in the morning and get a hit. How about that? Is that what you
want to
hear?
No.
Tim, more.
Tim, I know America's upside down right now. We don't need your hostilities inflaming the situation. I had not considered the idea, and it's an important point. The playing for several teams is not something. I think that's going to knock out a lot of our professional hitters.
We'll see.
Tim, does a professional hitter need to play the game the right way?
I think a professional hitter is somebody that you just bring in to get a hit when you need him to get a hit. DJ LeMahieu is the most professional hitter in the game today because he uses the whole field. He hits the ball the opposite field. He doesn't strike out a lot, but he's too good to be a professional
hitter.
See,
this is the problem. The too good part, you can't be too good. Like Chili Davis was too good to be a professional hitter, right?
Right. Chili Davis was way too good. Chili Davis drove in 100 runs a few times. He hit over 300 homers. He's way too good. John Mabry's a professional hitter. Lenny Harris is a professional hitter. Jim Leyritz was. Michael Tucker was a professional hitter. John Vanderwall was a professional hitter. Josh Willingham was a professional hitter.
Josh Willingham.
Is probably too good to be.
The hammer. I think it's one of those things what Timmy is saying is, Dan, you know it when you see it or you know it when you hear the name. That's how it works. Like, I think that's how it works. At least it does for me.
Tim, how about this one? Mark Gruzelonic.
Oh, it's a great one.
It's a pretty good one, but he was a pretty good defensive player at multiple positions, and he could really run. And he didn't play for that many teams, and he played basketball with Tim Hardaway. So I don't think he could be on the professional hitter.
All right, you know what? Now you're just flexing your Gruzelonic muscle here. Like that's that's all you were doing. It's all you were doing.
It is, then.
That's not information that we needed. Who cares who he played basketball with?
Timmy, I have a list of 10 hitters here. Timmy, I am going to give you a name here, okay? And you tell us on a scale of 1 to 10 where this guy ranks in terms of being a professional hitter.
10 being the most professional of hitters by the definition of the pukey broadcaster who would say he falls out of the bed and gets two hits.
Brett Butler.
Too good.
No, he's way too good of a center fielder and the greatest bunter I've ever seen. And he played too much. He started wherever he went. He's an everyday center fielder, not on the list. So he's a one.
All right, we're doing bunting tomorrow. So keep that note, guys. Brett Butler, Lyle Overbay.
All right, that's not bad. I would give that a 7.
Yes.
All right, very good.
Hal Morris.
Too good, probably.
Little too good, but I'll give it a 5 because he was a little too good.
This is a big one. Ross Glode.
Yeah, he wasn't good enough. Come on. Sorry. He wasn't good enough to be. He wasn't playing long enough.
Wow. That is searing.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That is
great.
Searing criticism from Tim Kirkshin. You never hear him say, we finally badgered him into saying something bad about a professional baseball player.
All right. This is another big one for us, Tim. Jason Kendall.
Too good.
Jason Kendall was a great catcher. He's one of the toughest people I've ever met in my life. Have you ever seen his hands? They look like they've been gnarled. They've been hit so many times. He played way too much to be a professional hitter.
Guillermo, put it on the poll. Have you ever seen Jason Kendall's hands?
Martin Prado. Martin Prado. That is Dan's nomination. I think it's a great one. Martin Prado.
Man, that's a pretty good one, I must say. Chipper Jones once told me, this is almost not Chipper Jones's prime, but a little past his prime. He told me once, we go as Martin Prado goes. So that's how important he was. So I told Wendy Nix one night, I was talking about a movie my daughter saw, and I said, I got it wrong. I said, The Devil Wears Prado. So on the air, she said, Tim, it's Prada. It's not Prado. It's Prada. That's right. How bad I am. I got Martin Prado mixed up with the devil word Prada.
I love you. All right, two more here. Very important, okay? Nick Markakis.
All right, he's a really good defensive outfielder, and he's got too many hits. You can't have 2,400 hits and be a professional hitter. You're too good.
You're right.
So he's a 2.
Okay. Mark Kotze.
I like that. It's pretty good. He's a pretty good outfielder, though, in his day. So I'll give him a 5.
All right. Mike is weighing in with one last one here. Jock Jones.
Well, he was an everyday player on a pretty good team for more than a few years, so I'm going to give him a 4 because I don't think he qualifies because he could actually play the outfield.
All right, I've got a few for you. Wes Helms.
Pretty good power. So on ESPN one night, he had a homer, And I said, while he was rounding the bases on Baseball Tonight, I just said this like 15 years ago, I said, Helms deep, like that. And Steve Berthiaume looked at me on the air doing Baseball Tonight. And I said, did you get that? And he gave me like the next five lines from Lord of the Rings and said, who do you think you're talking to here?
Lenny Harris.
Yes, I already mentioned him. I told you that about 5 minutes ago.
Matt Diaz.
Sorry, Dan. He's a good one. He's a really good one. Gosh, he's an eight. And when he used to play for the Rockies, he used to play every position. He came off the bench. He and a few other guys, and they called themselves the stuntmen. So they had these guys on the bench that never played every day, but they could do anything coming off the bench. Get a hit, hit a homer, play a position, pinch run. He nicknamed that group the Stuntmen. I love that.
Do you win a pennant with eight Hal Morrises?
No, because he's left-handed. So you can't win with a left-handed.
Technicality.
If he was a switch hitter, Mike, you had it.
What about Cantus? Eight Cantus.
Eight Jorge Cantus?
Boy, that's a lot of strikeouts. No, I don't think you can win with eight Jorge Cantus. You would cover the field pretty well, but I don't think you could win with eight Jorge Cantus.
How about eight John Olerudes?
Well, again, he's way too good. He's a batting champion. He never played in the minor leagues. He's way too good. But
this is a different question. Different question, Tim. Right.
Yes. All right, forget the left-handed part as the pedantic little twit here throws everything out that you throw at him. But, no, yes, you could win with eight John Olerudes as long as a couple of them played right-handed.
Need to go back a second because I don't think you heard us among our passionate shouting. I think the story you told us about the guy who played all the positions for the Rockies was about Lenny Harris, right? That story?
Yes.
Oh, because I shouted at you in the middle of that, Matt Diaz. And I thought that's who you were talking about because I was confused. So does Matt Diaz qualify as a professional hitter?
Yes. Matt Diaz is a good choice. He was a good hitter. I think he hit five homers in a college baseball game, and he's really funny. And he's got a great sense of humor, and that has to help to be a professional hitter because you got to be sitting around doing nothing, and then you got to get up and get a hit. So, yes, Matt Diaz, that's an eight.
All right, Timmy, let's get to it. Who is the most professional hitter in the history of baseball, according to Tim Kirchen?
Did anyone knock off Matt Stairs? Does anyone get to knock off Matt Stairs?
No, I think he fits the description about as well as anyone, given the criteria. Didn't really play every day, tough out off the bench, could hit a home run, played for a lot of teams, was limited defensively. And I got in this argument on the air with Curt Schilling one night on Baseball Tonight 10 years ago. I said Babe Ruth is the greatest player of all time, and he said Matt Stairs is better than Babe Ruth. Matt Stairs is better than Babe Ruth. And that's the argument we got in.
Last example we'd have of Schilling being a total loon, by the way. See you later, Tim. Good talking to you. Thank you.
Dan Le Batard.
Oh, Shlomo.
Stugatz.
Come on, Shlomo.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lawn.
I just got during the break a call from Tim Kirchen, screaming and enraged, saying and this is a quote, "The world is dying and I'm out here talking about Stan Javier."
Oh, wow, Stan Javier. Wow. That's a great one.
He was enraged and unreasonable, and I think we should have him on tomorrow to ask him more questions about this. If you want to nominate professional hitters, we're happy to start tomorrow's show the same way, and maybe by then we will have a president of the United States, or maybe not.
I'm upset we left off David Segui. I mean,
David Segui's a pretty good one.
That's a good one.
Also, maybe win a pennant with eight David Segui's.
No.
I think you could.
If you can't win one with eight Hal Morrises, you can't win one with eight David Segui's.
Possibly, but I'm just telling you, you don't want to play that team in September.
You don't. He said eight John Olerudes wins you a championship. David Segui, I feel like,
it's a tough out.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are doing. Is it just left-handed first baseman that you guys are doing? Because Olerud's a good deal better than both of those players.
It's the helmet in the field. Yeah. It's all that
but
stuff.
Olerud is the only one with a helmet in the field. Hal Morris didn't have one. David Segui didn't have one.
Hey, shut up.
Olerud was too good.
Yeah.
I want to identify the tipping point.
Matt Stairs? Oh, not the, okay. So you're looking. Matt Stairs is the best. That's been ordained. We've got a definitive answer for that, America.
Yes.
I know you were waiting for a conclusive result today, and we now have it—an important, conclusive result. Tim Kirkshen has said flatly, and this we've said he can be the commissioner of baseball. We'd all be okay with it. That Matt Stairs is the guy that you're talking about when you say someone is a professional hitter.
Mike, shame on us because Dan's right. I'm not certain what we're doing with John Olerud. He had nearly 2,400 hits. I mean, he's a very good player.
I don't think there's a we doing it. I believe there's a you doing it.
I think we all concede that John Olerud is too good. He is not the tipping point as to can you win a pennant with eight of this certain player. I want to find the worst of that.
All right, that's tomorrow, okay?
Right,
there are much more pressing things going on right now in America today. Among them, we've got to find this guy in New York who fell into a sinkhole full of rats, and I also need a definitive answer on how many knuckles there are on each finger because all of us spent... Billy, do you feel like we have something closer to an answer on this? Because Billy was asking earlier the... first crevice in your finger that is where it bends, what is that knuckle called? And then we started wondering, well, is that a knuckle? And then we started talking about knuckle sandwiches and brass knuckles and where the knuckles are, because I do think that most people would tell you that the knuckles are at the top of the fist, that the knuckles are the top of the fist and then probably the middle of your finger.
We also started talking about Charlie Huff.
We didn't, actually. You were doing that during the break, regretting all the Charlie Huff jokes you didn't make that you were going to get in and you just got in there, no matter how you were going to get that joke in. So let's just end the segment there because Stugat's got to make his joke.
Don Lebatard. We will get to what you would do if your wife was attacked by a bison in a moment. Stugatz.
Holy bleep, we're off to a terrible start.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
Guest on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W-30. Starting Monday, November 9th, you could stream our show daily on ESPN+. Plus. Also with ESPN+, Plus, you could stream Greeny, the Max Kellerman Show, and Shanae Ngola Jr. And you also get live sports, exclusive originals, and more. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com. As always, you can hear us on ESPN radio stations all across the country, SiriusXM, and the ESPN app.
Stugatz, what was so important that you had to delay the start of that read when we have our segment super condensed? Because that was the moment that you needed to tell Mike Ryan something. What I just want to know what that was you were saying to him.
I was telling Mike that I believe eight Hal Morrises give you a better chance of winning a World Series than eight Tony Gwynns. How about that?
As you know, I'm number one Hal Morris guy on this show.
I mean, it's just asinine.
But it's an asinine take.
It is.
What are you doing there? Grit?
I mean, in today's baseball, I'm not certain it is. You swing for the fences or you strike out. And I feel like Hal Morris can give you a single, another single, then strike out, then hit a three-run homer. Tony Gwynn gave you a long time.
One of them is the greatest hitter ever. The other one's named Hal. Knock it off.
It's my opinion. I mean,
it's the wrong opinion.
A little pop from Hal. I mean,
Christine, you were saying.
And finally, it rains diamonds on Uranus. How about that?
Wait a minute.
What?
Wait a minute. That is not how that planet is pronounced.
How is it pronounced?
You tell me.
Well, according to Schoolhouse Rock, it's Uranus. But I just looked it up on YouTube, and Nat Geo said Uranus. So I went with the lady on Nat Geo.
Okay.
Is that okay?
All right. Well, but it ruined the joke.
I know. I'm sorry. You go. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You want to try it again? You want to try it again? Or you want me to say it?
You say it.
All right. I'll say the your.
Uh-huh.
You say the.
Go ahead.
Innes.
Well played.
She's good.
She's good.
If you have because if I say it that way, you're going to record it, and then it's going to be a drop.
Of course.
Yes. I got to open up the club or something.
Obviously.
If you have questions on pronunciation moving forward, just ask me now.
I will. Okay. I will.
Uranus.
Just ask me? Is that what you said?
I botched that.
Tony,
yes.
No, you didn't. You got it right by accident. Tony Kornheiser has been making Uranus jokes across the network for 15 years, Christine. But okay, fine. Let me read this via Twitter. At Lebatard Show is where you can tweet us. We were asking the question earlier, which do you like to do less? An important question for our time, and I believe an important question that needs to be answered today above all others. And this guy writes in, moving is fun for me because you're going somewhere new. It's maybe an upgrade. You're organizing your possessions. You're simultaneously spring cleaning and you're ridding yourself of junk.
Is that guy?
Who likes moving?
No one.
Come on, Tom Chambers. Come on. It's not that Tom Chambers. I don't think it's that Tom Chambers.
You sure? I think you want a dunk contest.
I don't think it was that Tom Chambers, but nobody likes moving. The act of moving, the act of packing up your stuff and going.
I think it really took Antonio Brown over the edge, did it not? I mean, the movers.
He did have some issues with the movers. I badly need the machine that's got the loser game show sound again. Because it's not working.
It's
around
not working.
Here.
Let me power cycle it.
Yeah, it's busted up. And Stugatz is just hitting me with jazz hands after jazz hands today. why were you and Chris Cody arguing about Antonio Callaway? What was happening here where Chris Cody was talking about Antonio Callaway and you just beat him down? You beat him down where he said he was excited about the idea of the Dolphins adding Antonio Callaway. Chris, is this not how it happened? And Mike hit you with such a tirade that you're just like, I don't know, just put him on the practice squad. Why are you yelling at me?
I just mentioned to Mike because I know he's a former Brown, Antonio Callaway, and that he completed some suspension and added to the Dolphins practice squad. And I just mentioned it because I knew Mike knew the name and he attacked me like, you don't want him, the worst player ever. And I was just like, geez.
Worst NFL player in the history of the league. You should be awarded that formally. And let me tell you something. He's always coming off of suspension. Good luck with that.
Wasn't he in the most recent version of the XFL? Didn't he?
He actually brought the league to a crashing halt. There was a lawsuit just because they decided to try and sign Antonio Callaway, who actually never played a snap for them.
Billy, where are we on finding our guy Lenny Shoulders, who fell through a sinkhole and landed on a bunch of rats? Do you know where we are on this? Because we have a lot of questions for him.
We've reached out to multiple people who have been in contact with the Shoulders family, and we're trying to get a direct contact to old Lenny.
All right, so Allison, the bloodhound is on the scent, is what we're saying. Like, she's working one of the... We haven't asked her for one of these in a long time. Just go hurry, please, and get us a strange guest.
Antonio Callaway is actually at the center of Oliver Luck's lawsuit against Vince McMahon. Because he allowed for Antonio Callaway to be signed, and Vince McMahon wanted this clause. You don't get people with off-the-field issues, and since he never took a snap, it cost some major money, and Vince McMahon used the signing of Antonio Callaway as grounds for the firing and subsequent non-payment for Oliver Luck.
It's just an odd person, an odd thing to be so passionate and angry about.
I mean, wide open on a slant, somehow batted up in the air, pick six, Baker Mayfield's bad.
That's what Chris was getting. Chris,
that's what happened.
Chris it's unbelievable.
Chris was
Sorry.
Excited about Antonio Callaway, and Mike totally, and what was needed there was just some sort of surgical, precise instrument, and Mike went with nuclear bomb.
There have been two times, I think, in his career that he turned a touchdown in the end zone into a pick six the other way because it hit him in the hands.
No. Twice? No.
Twice.
No. There's no. Guaranteed. You're guaranteeing me.
It's a,
twice?
It's a superpower.
That's no. There's no way that's happened to him twice.
For sure once. For sure we had six.
I don't believe
And they had six.
It's never happened to anyone twice, though.
For sure.
That's never happened to anyone twice.
We have all these questions about Baker Mayfield just because of Antonio Callaway.
So Adam Levitan is he is writing this on Twitter.
Worst player. I had to put Stugatz. Me in such a bad mood. I hate all Jesus. Of you.
He writes, I saw some Trump minus 550 and I went to bed last night. I wake up to Biden minus 170. This is like a Falcons game. So somebody help me understand what was happening with the betting last night, because I'd like to talk about a number of things here. First of all, Nate Silver was hired by this company because he did polls better than anybody. And he is now getting dragged all over Twitter because, again, he did polls better than anyone. He was, I believe, the first one to become famous for having a model that predicted all 50 states correctly in the presidential election. Now he's getting dragged because the last couple of years have been so weird.
He might want to consider a new model.
Understood, but here's what he actually wrote on Twitter last night, and it's one of the many reasons he's getting dragged, not just because he got Florida wrong, but it seems, this is what he wrote, it seems that two possibilities are emerging. There is a scenario where Biden wins, in addition to there being a scenario that Trump wins.
Hmm.
Well, Billy, why are you making that face? I mean, that's what he wrote. That is what he wrote. Nate Silver. I mean, he makes millions of dollars.
Well, it can't be
hedging
wrong.
It.
Is that a hedge? I mean, that's just a fact, right? Like,
I love him.
I mean, there's not a hedge there, although he has gotten skittish. Now, does he work for ESPN anymore or for ABC?
They've moved 538 under the ABC umbrella. Nate Silver, he was a sports superstar. I went to one of those analytics conferences at Harvard, and he was the most famous person there. He would enter a room at Sloan, and it would be like Beatlemania. It's crazy.
It turned quickly on him and for him.
If he walks into that now, what happens? Is he laughed at? Are people questioning him? How does that work?
I mean, he's very good with the numbers, and he created something that we didn't know could exist. And, I mean, there's not a whole lot of people more embarrassed today than pollsters. Like, I mean, because, you can't trust what the numbers are showing you. Again, no matter what ends up happening here, you simply can't trust the numbers. Let's go ahead and go to commercial.
Don Levitard.
The bifocal eyeglasses.
Stugatz.
Marcus Mariota. Growing up right in front of our eyes.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Levitard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. C. Ross at @vicious_CBR tweets about my appearance, saying, I remember the rejoin where the dude's like, if I saw at Stugatz 790 in the side of the road, I'd give him $5. Today, he looks like the guy you see and then roll your windows up and lock your doors. Totally fair.
You've looked that way all week.
Yep, thanks.
Just haggard. You look like America right now.
Well, thank you.
Just haggard, beaten up, sick, unsafe, generally unhygienic. Roy Bellamy, 24 hours late, puts in the chat. And just in case we didn't understand, Bo Bichette eats Vietnamese food. Faux Bichette. That's the game. That's the game. 24 hours later, he wanted to be talking about it for 2 months, and now he's finally explained it. Yes, Roy.
Or if he was a basketball player on a team that swept all four series, faux Bichette.
I like that.
Dan, it's not faux Bichette, it's pho. That's how you pronounce that. It's pho.
Okay, well, then if it's pho, then the game.
No, let's stop.
Yep.
The game doesn't work.
No, just stop it.
The game doesn't work.
Shame on you, Tony.
I got one.
Not shame on you.
Shame on you.
You know, that's not the word I wanted. That's not the, I wanted to use two words. Shame one of on one. Everybody. One of which is just the stop. Word.
It's a magic crate.
I think I know the game now.
Okay, that's good enough. Not worth it, generally speaking. None of it worth it.
Bo Bichette is a body part. Elbow Bichette.
There you go.
Well, also, he's counterfeit, so then you can make him faux Bichette. Now Mike's got me scared of the word, too. You can make... All right, moving on.
I believe it's fa.
Oh, will you guys knock it off?
I don't believe it is. No.
Fa.
Oh, no, that's former quarterback for the Packers. Gunslinger. All right, stop. Because I don't want to get in trouble.
All right.
Today's not today.
Today!
The betting odds that were coming down yesterday on the presidential election. First of all, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are you a special kind of degenerate if you're betting presidential props?
Don't judge me.
The next question that I have is what happened last night? Because I learned, I don't know about you guys, but I learned the phrase Red Mirage last night. That's not a phrase that I was familiar with before last night. And I just kept hearing people tell me beware of a Red Mirage at the start because the mail-in ballots are going to be mostly demographic and the counting is going to show red states first. And then that's how it started. And then the gambling followed it so that Trump was minus 500. Trump was minus 600. I saw on Twitter somewhere, I didn't see it at a sports book, that Trump was minus 700 at one point. And I figured that if there's a red mirage, the betting shouldn't have been going that way. If we know that there's a red mirage and that Biden was the favorite according to the polling beforehand, and you're not assuming any kind of interference, you're assuming a fair election, I didn't understand how that betting line ended up moving so much when a lot of people were waving around Trump minus 600, 700 and sort of blowing it in your face. See, all the pollsters are wrong. Trump's going to win. It's not going to be Biden in a landslide.
Money moves lines. So people are watching the coverage and really solid early numbers for the president. The money is going to start going on who appears to be the leader. That, or you could have some sort of conspiracy theory in mind that maybe this is marketing because one sports book in particular got their name out there often, and a lot of people were, doing the normal sports betting person thing, which is someone knows something, but this isn't sports. This is an election, and this is purely money moving lines.
It's kind of like, remember I was telling you yesterday, I bet NFL games where I have no idea what the weather is. I have no idea. People weren't listening. They saw a whole bunch of red on there, and they were pounding Donald Trump. That's what was happening. You could have Biden a very good value at that point.
What's interesting about that is while I understand that the betting line and the point spread is something that moves just to get betting on both sides of the action, I generally associate a line moving a lot and something like that moving that much. I generally associate that with smart money, not just money, but smart money when it starts moving in a direction very strongly. And so that's the part that was confusing to me, that that people would be waving it around as if it meant something.
Yeah, and because there's no smart money there. It's usually in offshore accounts.
Yeah, there's no smart there in general. It's just money.